Our Heavenly Father, on Mother's Day, we pray that every mother here shall have a dream for every child. I pray that every teenager and young person here shall have a dream. They'll tell it and do it. Speak to our hearts. Oh God, help even old men to dream dreams. Help old ladies to dream dreams. Help grandmothers to dream dreams for grandchildren, mothers to dream dreams for children, fathers to dream dreams for children, pastors to dream dreams for people, young people to dream dreams for the future. May we have a dream, tell a dream, do a dream. Our heads are bowed in prayer. Every person in this room who believes the Bible has a dream of going to heaven someday, then you better do something about it. If this morning you're here and have never received Jesus as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to leave your seat in just a moment when we sing, "Come down this aisle and receive Christ as your Savior." Mothers, on Mother's Day, give your daughter or son or your daughters or your children, you give them the privilege and heritage that rightly be given to every child. Have a Christian mother. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, whether your mother's in heaven or here, you give whatever mother has a right to deserve, you give a Christian child. Come down this aisle this morning and receive Jesus as your Savior. If this morning you're here but you've not been baptized, come down this aisle and get baptized on Mother's Day, 1973. If you're here this morning and you need a church home that believes and preaches the Bible, I promise you, we'll preach it like we see it. We may not preach it like everybody likes it, but we'll preach it like we see it. We'll not trim one word off a message for anybody. If it kills us, whatever happens, we'll preach it as we see it. We'll be faithful to what we believe. Folks may criticize this preacher for some things he says, things he does. That won't change his preaching one bit if he believes it's God's message to the people. If you want that kind of church, then you come this morning. We'll give ourselves to make your children decent. We'll give ourselves to preach the Word of God to you and teach it to you and exalt the Savior. We'll do our best to edify you. If God leads you to come and join the church, you come. If you're not saved, I want you to leave your seat and come down the aisle receiving Christ. If you're not baptized, I want you to leave your seat and come down for baptism. If you need a church home, you come on Mother's Day, 1973. Father, bless the invitation. We're your people. This is your hour. This is your word. I'm your preacher. This is your church. Speak to the hearts of many this morning. Bring unsaved people to the Savior. Bring unchurched people to the church. Bring unbaptized people to the baptistry. In Jesus' name, amen. Monarchs, in the days of the writing of the Bible, boasted of the number of cities they took or conquered. A ruler, even though he did not particularly want a city, would take it just for his own pride and for his own boasting. A man was a hero in direct proportion as to how many cities he took. Now, we talk about heroes nowadays. Let's see. Brother Fisk, when I mention heroes, now I don't mean in the... When I mention heroes, give me some heroes, like our country would call heroes. George Washington. Give me some living heroes, Brother Sully. A living hero. Yeah. John R. Rice. Dr. Billings? Joe Namath. I'm glad we have all types of spiritual temperature here. All right, and I'm glad you're honest. I wanted that. Yes, sir. Mr. Nixon. All right. Johnny Bench. Carpenter. All right. Now, notice our heroes. A man who throws most touchdown passes. A man who makes the moon first. A man who hits the most home runs. President of our nation. A well-known preacher. And so forth. Now, these are our heroes. Now, in these days, shall I say, the Marilyn Monroes, the Elizabeth Taylors, the Johnny Benches, the Joe Namaths, the Hank Aarons, the Bill Russells, the Jerry Wests, the Mickey Mantles, the Willie Mayses were kings and monarchs. The great hero was the man who took the most cities. And that's why the writer of Proverbs, who, by the way, was himself a king and spoke in kingly language, that's why the writer of Proverbs likened a person that controlled his own spirit to a person that took the most cities. And the writer of Proverbs said, and the wisest man who ever lived said, that the greatest hero is the one who rules his own spirit. David could defeat Goliath, but he couldn't defeat the lust in his own heart toward Bathsheba. Moses could defeat Pharaoh and the Egyptian armies, but he couldn't defeat his own temper when he lost his temper and smote the rock twice. Elijah could defeat the Baalites and the prophets of Baal, but he could not defeat his own discouragement when pursued by Jezebel. Job could stand the test like nobody else ever stood it, but he couldn't defeat the pride that came because he stood the test so well. Samson could defeat anybody of his day, strongest man of his day, but Samson could not defeat his love or lust for women. Now, do you get the idea? A man who rules his own spirit is more powerful than a man who conquers a city. Joe Namath can conquer on the football field, but he can't conquer his own lusts. Marilyn Monroe could woo most any man she wanted, but she couldn't conquer her own spirit. Elizabeth Taylor, thought by people in Hollywood to be the most beautiful woman in the world. Elizabeth Taylor can make millions, but she got so despondent, she said one time, I wish I could just get born all over again. And I said, Liz, that's exactly what you need. And she said, is that right, Jack? Bill Harvey used to say, I'd like to go out and have a date with Elizabeth Taylor again. I said, Bill, did you have a date with Elizabeth Taylor before? No, I said, I wanted to once before. But she couldn't control her own spirit. Now, by the way, before we sentence David, Job, Elijah, turn me down about that much, fellas, about that much. Samson, and so forth. Let us face one truth, and that is most of us are the same way. Now, follow me carefully. And this is going to be a very practical message tonight, and one that could honestly change your life. We walk down the street, and we're hungry, and we smell popcorn. Amen? Amen. In fact, many of you just left the sermon right there. I mean, you're thinking about it when you get home tonight, and you're gone now. You lost the battle to your own spirit. And what happens? Popcorn says, hey, smell me. And we say, be glad to. Be happy to. And so we smell the popcorn. So what happens? We eat popcorn. Why? Because our nose made us. Let's face it. Your nose, in many cases, is bigger than you are. You ought to say to your nose, nose, you're not going to conquer me. Now, think about that. Think about it. Outside stimuli conquered you. You don't control your own will. You don't eat popcorn when you say, I want popcorn. I need popcorn. You eat popcorn, your nose says, eat popcorn. And you've lost the battle to your own spirit. Here's a fella, Caesar. Chocolate sundae has three dips of ice cream, like that, and then hot fudge poured over the top. And then a little whipped cream on the top of the hot fudge. And then, you just changed from popcorn to a hot fudge sundae after church, didn't you? And then you got a few nuts sprinkled on top of that. And then a cherry stuck right in the middle of that snow cap on top. See? And your eyes say. In fact, right now, your eyes and your nose are fighting a battle with each other. Do you know it? Huh? Right now. And your eyes say, boy, oh boy, I want that. What happens? You eat the chocolate or a hot fudge sundae. What happens? Your eyes have won the battle. You've lost the battle to your spirit. Now, I'm not fighting hot fudge sundaes tonight. I'm not fighting popcorn tonight. But I am saying that if your nose tells you when to eat popcorn, if your eyes tells you when to eat a hot fudge sundae, then you do not rule your own spirit. Your lust. Now, the word lust in our day means sexual lust, but not so in the Bible. The word lust means any appetite. Your lust, the lust of the nose. I like the smell of popcorn. Of the eyes, I like the looks of that hot fudge sundae. What happens? Your nose says to your body or your mind, I control you. Your mind bows in obeisance and says, what you desire, that will I give you. Same thing is true with your eyes. Or maybe your ears control you. You're listening to the radio. And it says, Mars bars. Soft, tangy, white candy. Sprinkled over with roasted almonds, with creamy milk chocolate poured over. When your teeth sink through the milk chocolate and then to the roasted almonds and then to the white candy, a thrill beyond measure has come your way. And your ears say, get me one! The other ear says, get me one too! And your ears have controlled, and you've lost the battle to your spirit. You know, camouflage and all this foolishness here is a lot of good philosophy, a lot of it. You have lost the battle. You have said, your nose has said, I'll rule you. And your ears have said, I'll rule you. And your eyes have said, I'll rule you. The Bible says a man who decides with his own will when he eats a hot fudge sundae, with his own will when he eats popcorn, or with his own will when he eats a Mars bar, that man has controlled his spirit and is a greater hero than he that conquers a city. I can recall when I was a paratrooper. We had to run 10 miles a day. Now they run, I think they run for 50 minutes and or 10 minutes and walk a minute, I'm not sure. We had to run 10 miles a day, every day. And I've been running. After running 5 or 6 miles and worn out, and my legs said to me, we can't go any farther. But my mind said, you're going to go farther. But my legs said, good night, you don't have to do this. I'm having to do all we have to do all the work. And I said, just keep on going there, boy. Now, the truth is, my legs almost controlled, made my decision for me. But my mind said, one more step. Just one more step. And at that step, just one more. Just one more. And the mind controlled the spirit. And he that ruleth his own spirit, a greater hero than he that conquers many cities. You look at the bed, and you say, boy, I'd like to have about 8 good hours in you tonight. Haven't had a good night's rest since I've been coming to First Baptist Church. Some of you students at Howells Anderson had the first good night's rest since last August. You'll come back so backslidden, you'll want 4 hours sleep a night next year, sure as you. But boy, it looks good. Man alive, wouldn't I love to just get some good old sack time and just get some rest? And the bed says, why don't you just come on, take a nap. Go to sleep. But my mind says, I'll decide when I go to sleep. I'll not let my weary bones decide. I'll decide. I'll decide what I want. I'll make up my mind what I'll do. I'll control you. And that we ought to say to our nose, say to your nose, you're not my boss. I'll rule you. I'll tell you what I'll eat, and I'll eat when I want to eat. And I'll eat what I want to eat. And say to the eyes, we'll not follow. By the way, that's exactly what happened to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Eyes. Sensual. Listen. The appetite. That's one reason why I don't pay much attention to advertising. You know what advertising is? Advertising is, follow me now. Advertising is an enemy trying to conquer you and your appetites. Advertising says, I'll tell you what to do. Your will say, get down nose, get down ears, get down eyes, get down legs. I'll tell you when you move. He is the great hero. Now the question comes, how do you learn to conquer your own spirit? How do you learn to rule your own spirit? How can you become the greatest hero of all? I'm going to give you six things tonight. Six things, six ways that you can conquer your spirit. And by the way, when you get that, you can become proud of yourself. Did you ever hear anybody say, I just can't help it. I had to have it. That's weakness. That's weakness. Somebody says at school, or in the Navy, or at college, or at work, they say, come on, have a beer. Be a man. A man controls his spirit, doesn't yield every invitation. A man's able to control his spirit and rule his spirit when tempted to sin by a lustful woman or a wicked woman. A man is able to say, no, I decide. I control, I rule my spirit. Six ways, six steps, or six ways. One, it is best to start in childhood. It is best to start in childhood. A word to you parents this evening. If you want to teach your young people to control, rule their spirits, start in childhood. Now listen carefully. You'll get this part of my message in How to Rear Children, that book I wrote. But listen carefully. The way that a child learns to control his spirit is this way. A child gets greater pleasure in one way. Let's take the matter of rewards. A little child will do right instead of wrong when the rewards for right are greater than the rewards for wrong. For example, here's a goal. A mother says, you be a good girl today, and I'll buy you an ice cream this afternoon. Now, what is that? That is a bigger reward for right than for wrong. I've said this many times. He's a teenage boy and girl. And the mother says, father and mother say, you be home by 11 o'clock. And it's 5 to 11. And so they decide to stay out to 11:30 and chance it. So what happens? They come home, and the mother comes in, or the father, and says, I told you to be home by 11 o'clock. Here you are in 11:30. I can't trust you anymore. My, just seem. What are you going to turn out to be? Now, all of that stuff is not worth the breath it takes to give it. Listen, there's not a boy in this room, but what under certain conditions, wouldn't be willing to listen to his mama or dad nag for a while or lament for a while for 15 minutes more or 30 minutes more with that pretty girl. Why? I mean, why? Because the enjoyment of the crime is better than the pain of the punishment. But here's a fellow comes in 30 minutes late, and the dad says, now, you don't have to say, I'll declare to my soul, you kids are going to go there. You worry me to death. Yeah, and you worry me to death, too. And by the way, you worry your kids to death, too. And it will not help them because you say, well, we don't agree. I'll tell you what, you show me a decent kid that's been reared with that kind of discipline. No. You say to the child who comes in like that 30 minutes late, okay, you can't see her for a week. And the boy doesn't see her for a week. He traded a week for 30 minutes. Now, the next time that time comes to come home at 11 o'clock, he's going to say, well, the first fellow's going to say, I'm going to stay out at 11:30 because all my old man's going to do is holler at me anyhow. I'm used to that. He stays out to 11:30. First fellow says, I didn't get to see my girl for a week after I stayed out 30 minutes late last time. I better get home by 11 o'clock or I'm not going to see her for a week. And he begins learning to control his spirit. Why, go! Here's a young man plays on the basketball team. And the coach says, you can't have any cake, you can't have any pie, you can't have any sweets during basketball season. Why, I recall when Dave was on the basketball team. He wouldn't touch anything that was sweet. He wouldn't eat any candy. Why? Basketball team. The goal was big enough. He wanted to make the team. That's why. Now, if you'll set the goal big enough for a child and the reward big enough for a child so that the reward for doing right is bigger than the reward for doing wrong, then the child is learning to control and rule his own spirit. Not only that, if the desire to please someone, this is in my book also. When I was a kid, I was wigglesome like kids are. When I was in the fifth grade in Lisbon Elementary School, we had a teacher named Miss Toblosky. Can you feature that? Toblosky in Texas. We shipped her out as soon as we could get another Jones, Johnson and Smith. But she gave me an N in conduct. An N in conduct. You know why? For little things. Little things like kid in front of me took her, a little girl took her shoe off. And I took, and I stole the shoe and threw it out the window. Little things. Little things. And, of course I was mistreated. You can tell I was. Little things. I mean, like the fellow in front of me wore suspenders. And I'd go, bing! Little things. Little things. I mean, like when I got the suspender and undid it and tied it around the slat in the back of the chair. When he went to the board to work at the board, he took the chair with it. Little thing, little thing. I mean, insignificant thing. You can tell I was mistreated. She just didn't like me, that's all. And I got an N in conduct. N is non-satisfactory. S was satisfactory. N was non-satisfactory. And F was failure. Well, I got an N. And I came home that day. And Mother said, where's your report card? I wanted to say, close your eyes and practice signing your name. She said, I said, report card? Report card? Yeah. Isn't this report card day? Oh, I did pretty good. Where's your report card? Oh. And finally I gave it to her. And Mother looked at that, down, came down to conduct, and it said, N. She sat down. She put her head in her hand. Said, my boy, I've tried to rear you right. You've gone astray. Listen, John Dillinger's mother wasn't any more disappointed in him. I mean, Clyde Barra and Bonnie Parker didn't disgrace themselves like I did. And she cried and she cried. I thought, good night. Now, I could have gotten an F. She'd probably shot herself. I'd have gotten an F. And then, boy, I saw my mother's face. I went back, and that boy still sat in front of me, had those suspenders. I'd look at those suspenders, and I'd see Mama's face. I'd see the penitentiary. I knew I was headed for the penitentiary. Maybe the electric chair, and then even worse. I knew I'd see Mama's face. The little girl in front of me, she loved to take her shoe off and do her foot, sort of, like that. I'd see that shoe. I'd look at that window, it's wide open. I'd reach down and, but the back of that shoe had Mama's face pictured on it. I'd reach out to get that boy's suspenders and, ding, back. But the back of his shirt had Mama's face on it. Don't you see what I'm getting at? The reward. And so next time, when the report cards, 6 weeks later, the report cards came out and I got an S in conduct. And I went home, and I said, Mama, this report card day. It's funny how much happier I was about it. And I gave it to her, and she said, oh, my boy. This is my boy. This, she told the neighbors. She spread the word. She bragged on me. She hugged me. She kissed me. She slobbered all over me. And I got an S. You'd have thought I'd discovered a cure for leukemia or polio or something. And you know what? Every time I look at that boy's suspenders in front of me, I'd see Mama
Amen.
And did you know, seeing Mama's face, proud of me, and seeing her face weeping when she wasn't proud of me, cured me of throwing that little girl's shoe out the window. Why? Because of the reward. Now look, take a child while he's little and make the reward big enough and make the punishment hurt enough. Then, of course, let me say this. When you scold for mistakes that are made, that's too late to scold. The time to scold is before the mistakes are made. And let them know the severity of the punishment. Do not punish for annoyance. And by the way, let me say this also. Always give a child a way he can win. Scolding, when a child has done something, if you can't give him a way out or a way to win, it's no good. A child needs a way when he's little to redeem himself. You say, I'll declare what's gone wrong with you. Let's suppose here's a little girl that doesn't clean her room up. Of course, we have none like that here. But in Arkansas, there are some young girls like that. But a girl doesn't clean her room up. And the mother walks up and says, look at your room! And the girl feels terrible about it. And the mother says, Mama, when you get married, you're not going to amount to anything. By the way, that might be the reason you don't amount to anything, but you don't amount to anything. I declare I slave and you'll appreciate me. Here it is, Mother's Day, and you don't appreciate me. All the days your room will be clean, it's Mother's Day. So the girl starts to clean it, and the mother says, never mind, I'll do it myself. And you see what you're doing? You are teaching that child not to rule his own spirit. Because the child has no way to vindicate himself, has no way to redeem himself, has no way to come back and conquer. He has no opportunity to win. Why? Because his only hope, redemption, has been pulled out from under him. Number two, realize that your spirit can be defeated. Realize that your spirit can be defeated. Let's take the matter of laziness. How many of you are naturally lazy? Raise your hand with me, would you please? All of us are naturally lazy. Now, how do you defeat it? First, realize it can be defeated. Look, time to get up in the morning. You say, I think I'll call in sick. Just sit up in bed and look to the wall and say, laziness, get out of here. You're not going to lick me. I'm not going to bow to you. Listen, every person in this room, I don't care who it is, from this preacher on up and down, every person in this room is tempted to be controlled by laziness. Get out of it. Time to study. Say, laziness, it's time to study. You'll not conquer me. You'll not rule me. You'll obey me. You'll be my servant, my slave, not my master. Study. Time to go to work. Do it. Why? Because you conquer your own spirit. People ask me this question so often. Dr. House, when do you find time to write books? I think I've written 19 books, and I'm writing some now. When do you find time to write books? I'll tell you when I find time to write books. I find time to write books while other people are sleeping on airplanes. I make myself do it. I'll say to myself on an airplane or in a motel room some afternoon when I could be resting or taking a nap, I say to myself, work! But myself says, I don't want to work. Work anyhow. Well, I'm tired. I don't care if you are tired. Well, I want to take a nap. You can't do it. Laziness, you're not going to conquer me. I am going to rule you. Now get to work. It can be done. If you will stop to realize that the desire to sleep, the desire to be a sluggard is not unique to you. It's present in every person. Take the matter of appetite. You say, Brother Hans, I just can't quit eating. Anybody here that way? Anybody here going to go home tonight? Take your refrigerator up and shake it on the kitchen table. You're going to eat some flying buzzards. Ham. No talking, kids. You can overcome that too. And you're going to your appetite's going to say, your stomach's going to say, feed me. And your mouth's going to say, amen. Now the Spirit's going to say, I'm going to conquer you. Now you let your will say to your spirit, I will eat only what I need to eat. I'll decide what I eat. Stomach, you'll not conquer me, no matter how big you are. Did you know not a one of the pastors who have the 10 largest Sunday schools in the world is fat? And I doubt if one's overweight. You know why? Because the same kind of spirit, the same kind of will that can conquer the appetite can conquer the laziness. The same kind of spirit that says, I'll not eat. I will not eat to live to eat. I will eat to live. I'll feed myself what I need. I have a body. My body's a machine. I'll not be a slave to my stomach. I'll not be a slave to my appetite. I'll not be a slave to my eyes. I'll not be a slave to my nose. I'll not be a slave to my ears. I'll eat what I will eat. That kind of spirit or will can also conquer laziness. It'll work. It'll get the job done. It'll build a great church. It'll build a great anything. Say to your temper, temper, you won't control me. Say to your retaliation, you won't control me. Say to jealousy, you won't control me. I will conquer you. I will defeat you. I'll win over you. I'll rule you. You're not going to rule me. You're not going to rule me. Temper, pride, jealousy, envy, covetousness, appetites, laziness. You'll not do it. You'll not do it. Number three, I've implied this already, but this will help you. Realize that Brother Hiles has the same trouble you have. Everybody has the same trouble. Everybody. I'm going to tell you a little deal. Yesterday at noon, I went over to the health food store, North Hamlin. Got me some health food stuff. Right? They had some little sesame sticks, sesame seed sticks. Samples, you know what I mean? And I'm a good customer there, and I always enjoy going there, and I think they enjoy when I come. We chat a while and usually have a time. And so I reached down and got me some of these sesame sticks, health food. I eat them, but boy, I love them. But health food may be good for you, but sometimes it's fattening too. And I always watch my weight. I always do. So does Brother Sully. He doesn't have to look down to watch his. He just watches it all the time. But anyway, he's the only man on the staff that can play cards on his table, right? Anyway, some of us, as I said the other night, some of us diet by not eating. When he loses pounds, he just cuts an arm off and so forth. But anyway, last night after the wedding, I hadn't had time to eat. All day yesterday, I hadn't had time to eat a meal. And I was tired. I think I was about as tired last night when I went to bed as I've been a long time. I mean, I left here about 11:15. But before I left the health food store, the lady saw me eating them, and she likes to be kind to me, so she went over and she got a big bag about that tall of sesame sticks. I love them. I love them. So I said, don't do that. Yeah, I want you to have them. It don't cost you a thing. I said, I know, but man, you're causing a battle because I won't eat them all before midnight. I brought them back to my study. I was working. I put them in a drawer. After the wedding was over, I went over to there and hadn't eaten anything. I tried to think about this sermon. And those sesame sticks started hollering out that drawer, eat me, eat me, eat me. And the little demons on the inside of me said, yeah, yeah. And the spirit of those sesame seeds bore witness with my spirit. And I went over to the drawer and I looked at them and I said, well, okay, I'll just eat a few of you now. Just three. By the way, did you know what? When the gates opened, boy, the whole herd would come in after a while. And so I opened the gate and ate three. But you know, three is an odd number. So and three and three is six, and six is an even number. But six, that's why I ate three more, but six is man's number. So I thought seven would be good, so I ate seven more. And those little sesame sticks looked up at me and said, we got you, haven't we? And I said, yeah, but I tell you what I can do. I said, you watch what I'm going to do. You're not going to lick me. I mean, if I can't lick you looking at you, I'll get rid of you. So I went in the restroom next to my study, opened the window, got up on top of the only seat in the restroom, stood up there and opened the end of the bag and shook it out in the alley. And said, yeah, 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 yeah. Now, you see what I'm getting at? I mean, we all have the same problem. Does that encourage you a little bit? Tonight when you go home and the potato chips say, eat me, eat me, eat me, eat me. Look at them and say, well, Brother Howes has the same problem with you. But throw them away if you. Don't let them win the victory. Look, I only ate 13. There were hundreds of others that said, eat me, eat me, eat me, eat me. But they were gone. I was out in Oregon the other day. I was on a fast. I didn't eat anything for a whole day. I try to fast one day a week. So I'd fasted 24 hours and it was over and I wanted to eat something and I couldn't find a thing open. It was late at night and my fast was over and I thought, well, I'll eat something. Went to the restaurant, nothing open. Only thing they have is a little vending machine. And everything in that vending machine, there's a choir singing all parts. Eat me, eat me, eat me, eat me, eat me, eat me. Little peanut butter sandwiches that eat me. But there was something in there that sang louder than the whole choir put together. It was chocolate covered almonds. And they just didn't, they said, eat me! But it cost 75 cents for a box of them. Big box. So I reached in my pocket and I said, I don't think I have 3/4. But I did, exactly 3/4. So I stuck 1/4 in there. I said, I hope they're out. But they weren't out. And I stuck 3/4 in there and pushed in that little gadget. Guess what dropped out? A box of chocolate covered almonds. I said, I'm going to eat 3. That's 1/4 an almond. I'm going to eat 3. I sat there. I can't believe I ate that whole thing. Whole thing. You like that, didn't you? Whole thing. Now listen to me. You know how I felt? I felt like a fellow who had just pitched a no-hitter for 8 innings and threw a home run at the bases loaded pitch and lost the game the 9th inning. I felt terrible. In many more ways than one. The next morning I felt very, very bad. Now what did I do? I lost the battle. I lost the battle. Now if you'll stop and realize that I'm trying to encourage you that I have the same battle to fight you have. That tall, thin fella has the same battle to fight that you blubber folks do. Same battle. Look, look, look. If we could ever learn this, I will control myself. Nothing's going to tell me. No little box that big or a little cigarette that size or a hamburger that big around or a Sundae that tall or a Mars bar that big and that wide. No, you'll not control me. Number four. This is so important. Find the conqueror of each. Find the conqueror of each. Do you know when pride tries to conquer me? You know what will always conquer pride in my life? Thinking about the first sermon I ever preached. I found the conqueror. If I ever get to the place where I say, boy, I really was good today, then all of a sudden, right quick, I bring out that first sermon I ever preached and relive it, and pride is always defeated. For example, appetite. You know what I used to do? You won't believe this, but there was a time when I weighed 209 pounds. 209 pounds. I had a picture for a long time of me when I weighed 209. Right now I weigh 179. 30 pounds less than 209. I'm 5'11 and 3/4. I weighed 209. Now when my appetite came to me, I put that picture of me in a billfold. And when my appetite came to me and I saw stuff I shouldn't eat, I mean if I saw if I were going to eat too much and I want another one and another one. I used to consume crackers with a truckload. Boy, I love crackers. Crackers and water. I'd just take a cracker and drink a swallow of water. And another cracker and a swallow of water. Another cracker and a swallow of water. And if I was watching a ball game, I just like that. And so I got my picture And it carried around everywhere it went. Picture went away 209. Sulla's got a leg, weighs that much. 209. And every time I'd want to, he said, "Won't you preach the Bible?" And I know, you don't like this. This is a part of the Bible you don't like. You know why? Because you have been defeated. You do not rule yourself. You do not run yourself. Your will does not determine what you do. You're a slave to a bunch of appetites and outside stimuli. Young people? My old picture was what conquered. If I have the external stimulus of fear, then I stop and think of God's care for me through the years. Find the conqueror of each. Number five, have a schedule. Have a schedule. Some of you folks tonight having a nice nap because you are a slave to an appetite. You can't conquer your own spirit. You don't want to win. You want to be a slave. Young people, you listen to me. The yellow dress right beside her. The tall fella. Look up at me. Sailors, I told you I got on anybody whether they're sailors or not, didn't I? I want you to know it's not reserved for sailors. And sailors aren't immune either, by the way. I mean, we're going to behave at our church. And But you know what? Listen, this country is going to hell tonight. The Watergate deal is nothing more than men who are slaves to their own passions and appetites rather than conquering their own spirits. Say to your appetite, "I'll conquer you." Say to hatred and jealousy and malice and envy and covetousness and laziness, "I'll conquer you." "You'll not conquer me. I'll rule you." And the Bible says you are the best hero of all. MacArthur, Eisenhower, Patton, all the rest have not learned or not won a battle as great as the victory you've won when you've learned to conquer your own spirit. Have a schedule. That's the next point. Have a schedule. Live by schedule. If I could say to any of it, live by schedule. Live by, when you get up in the morning, know what you're going to do. Live by schedule. Have a schedule when I'm on the road. When I get on an airplane, have a schedule. When I'm in a motel, I have a schedule. You know, most of the things that I do, I don't have to do to get my salary here. You know, most of the things we've got going on here were not in my contract when I came here. There are things that I have forced myself to do. Why? I made my schedule. And I say to my schedule, "I made you, I will obey you." And you can become the conqueror of your spirit. And then may I say this quickly, and that is, fellow, don't play with the paper on the front. Son, listen to me. I say allocate yourself your needs. Now, for example, if you need some popcorn, if you say, "I think what I need is some popcorn," okay, then go get some popcorn. If you say, for example, "I do occasionally eat a piece of candy." I mean not non-health candy. I mean Hershey. I mean Mars bar. You know how I eat it? When I will to eat it. You know when I will to eat it? When I think I need it. If I'm about to preach, I haven't had anything to eat, I need some quick energy, I can't find any honey, I'll grab me a quick candy bar and I'll eat the candy bar. Why? For energy. I allocate myself that. He said, "Well, as tired as I am, I need energy all the time." So you'll just eat candy bars all the time. You're the kind of person who probably eats 75-cent box of almonds all at one sitting. Allocate yourself rest. If you need rest, have it. Allocate yourself humor. Allocate yourself pleasure. Don't be a slave to pleasure. Have pleasure. For example, there may be a time when you'd say, "I believe I could do more for God and get my work done better if I had a little relaxation." Okay, then allocate you. But don't let relaxation. Don't drive by a golf course and say, "I've got to play golf." Sit at home and say, "What do I need to get my job done better?" You may need a round of golf. Okay, then in that case, go play golf. But allocate yourself the satisfaction of appetites. Don't let the appetite determine your schedule or what you do. Let the need, if you need laughter, then have laughter. If you need pleasure, have pleasure. If you need exercise, have exercise. If you need food, have food. Need sweets, have sweets. But decide yourself what you do. I'm talking to folks tonight that are slaves to appetites. Rest. food. Temper. People say, well, I just lose my temper. It's just part of me, and I just lose my temper. They're just... And you haven't conquered your spirit. Well, a fellow said not long ago, said, I can't help it. I'm just the kind of guy that likes to look at pretty women. Well, you're the only one of that persuasion in the whole world. The honest truth is, don't let external advertising stimulus the smell. Listen, the senses. I smell it. I like to smell it, so I take it. I like to see it, so I take it. I like to hear it, so I take it. Get alone and get your will. Have your will to say, I need to hear it, so I'll hear it. Or I need to eat it, so I'll eat it. I need to do it, so I'll do it. But I will allocate. I will decide, like I have a button. I will decide when I play. I will decide when I work. I will decide when I eat. I will decide when I stop eating. I'll stop eating when I need to stop eating for my own good. And I'll control my spirit. And I say, lastly, and I'm skipping over much because of time. Now I say lastly, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Day by day, say, Holy Spirit of God, give me strength today to rule my spirit. Let me say this. You are not told in the Bible that the Holy Spirit will rule your spirit. The Holy Spirit will rule your will, and your will rules your spirit. You yield to the Holy Spirit of God day by day and say, Holy Spirit, lead me today. Direct me today. And I want to say this and I'll quit. There's no reason in this world, humanly speaking, why I ought to pastor the largest Sunday school in the world. None. Not a one. But I've given you tonight, listen to me, I have given you tonight the only explanation in this world for Jack Hyams. Only one. Only one. Time comes to get up in the morning. I may not want to get up. By the way, a person ought to sleep late when he wills to sleep late. A person ought to sleep late if he needs to sleep late. Not if he wants, but if he needs to sleep late. For these years, I have said I'm not going to let a little piece of candy that long rule me. Some of you folks, tomorrow morning, you get up, and the first thing you'll do is feel your way around. Wonder what world I'm in. And so you stumble to the kitchen and you barely make it to the coffee pot. And you grab it right quick and heat it and hold on there. It gets hot. Slave. Slave. Say to that coffee cup, that coffee, I'll decide when I need you. By the way, that'll be never. No little bar candy is going to rule me. I decided years ago no bed was going to rule me. I decided years ago that my nose was not going to tell me what to eat. I'll punch it. My ears are not going to tell me what I eat. My eyes are not going to tell me what I do. My will, my will, my will, my will, my will. We'll decide. And by the way, your nose, your ears, your eyes, the members of your body were not meant to rule. They were meant to be servants. Now listen to me and I'll close. They're meant to be servants. When they become servants, they're happier than they've ever been in their life. Because they're out of place when they rule. When the external stimulus creates a desire in your senses for something and you respond because of the external stimulus, then something that was meant to be a servant becomes ruler and will never be happy. Did you know? Listen. Do you know who enjoys candy the most? Now watch this. The fellow who... Or the fellow who says, I believe I need 3 pieces of that for strength. And so he eats it. Did you know his mouth enjoys candy more than a fellow Why? The mouth was made to serve, not to order. The body, listen, the body of a person whose will decides what it does is a happier, contented body than the body of a person. That's, listen, you want what most pain is? Dr. Streeter, don't get me in trouble here. What most pain is? Huh? Most pain is the body saying, you are not my master. I was your master. And I don't feel good about it. Most sickness is that. Most sickness is caused when the will loses control of the spirit. Let me ask you a question. What rules you tonight? A jukebox? A phonograph machine? What rules you? Appetite? What rules you? Laziness? What rules you? Jealousy? What rules you? Envy? What rules you? Temper? What rules you? Why don't you decide, with the grace of God, I'm going to walk in the Spirit, and I am going to conquer and rule my spirit. And that's how you become a hero. Simple little message, but life-changing for those who want to heed it. Let us pray. Our Savior said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he went further than that, and he said, nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. He ruled his own spirit. He ruled his own spirit. He ruled his own spirit. Let me ask you a question tonight. Does a cigarette rule you? Does a cup of coffee rule you? Does an appetite rule you? Does your nose rule you? Your eyes, your ears rule you? Does jealousy rule you? Does a temper rule you? Does covetousness rule you? Do you rule your spirit, or does your spirit rule you? Be honest. Be honest. You know, tonight, if all the bus workers in this church would take this to heart, it would give us the crowd we need next Sunday on buses. If every Sunday school teacher would take it to heart, we'd have our 11,025 next Sunday. No problem at all. Some men would double their businesses, double their income by just doing what I preach tonight. Conquer your will. Conquer your spirit. Conquer your spirit. Conquer your spirit. And you'll be greater than he that conquers cities. I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, I'll be honest tonight. I'll be honest. There's something in my spirit that's ruling my will. There's a disposition. There's a temper. There's an appetite. There's something that has conquered my will. There's something in my life that I've gotten to where I cannot do without. And it drives me to action rather than me using it for action. And I'll be honest, and I want you to pray about it, because I want to be the hero the Bible speaks about. I want to conquer and rule my spirit. But tonight, I need your prayers. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the building. All over the building. Our Heavenly Father, our hands are up and our hearts are bare. Tonight, we've not told a sad story. We've not shed a tear from this pulpit. But we've been earnest and honest and sincere. We want to help our people. And thou didst put it in the Word of God. So I pray that you'd help these dear ones tonight to say, I will rule my spirit. I will, I will, I will, I will. God help us. Our heads are bowed. You can put your hands down. God bless you.